Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At one point, people legitimately thought that Chance the Rapper was going to be the biggest star in hip-hop since Drake. He even had a rare presidential seal of approval.
Chance, you are an outstanding role model. Because of you, countless young people will grow up believing in themselves, fulfilling their God-given potential, and then reaching back, lifting up other people along the way.
At the height of his powers, he was making history by winning Grammys as an independent artist, and had streaming services like Apple Music offering insane bags to have his projects on their platforms as exclusives. So how, in just a few short years, did he go from this to becoming viewed as a rapper with the biggest falloff of all time? And today we're going to be investigating how Chance the Rapper squandered his potential. Chancellor Bennett always seemed destined for something greater. Unlike most rappers who emerged from the city of Chicago, Chance didn't grow up in the projects, and developed his knack for music during poetry sessions in high school. After he got suspended for puffing on that devil's lettuce, Chance used his time wisely to work on his first big project. The result was 10 Day, a mixtape that dropped in 2012 and quickly made him famous in Chicago as it started to get attention from avid rap fans. Straight away, Chance's unique style and delivery made him stand out in a marketplace that was beginning to associate Chicago with gritty rap rather than the more creative type of music that Kanye West was making back in the day when he was still sporting pink polos and backpacks. Around this time, Chance was rolling with the Save Money crew, which featured a whole host of Chi-Town's hottest rappers and creatives who all wanted to push the envelope with their music. We're talking Chance, Vic Mensa, Tokyo, Joey Perp, and many more.
For real, like, the reason why this shit is so cracking for us right now is honestly because of, like, the young folks in Chicago that are really coming out to these shows and are supporting us. Thank you to all of them. Get down with the movement. We definitely on the come up, and we got a lot of music coming for y'all. So.
Seriously, the collective falloff of this crew is wild, and it really needs to be studied for future generations. Because at one point in time, they all had labels chasing them. But no one attracted more attention than Chance the Rapper. And by the time he dropped his second mixtape, Acid Rap, in 2013, the project was downloaded more than 50,000 times on DatPiff in just one day. Now, this is back when streaming services weren't even a thing. So it was really impressive for a newcomer in the game to be doing these kinds of numbers. With that kind of attention, the label saw a dollar sign, and soon everyone was chasing him. According to an interview with Billboard just after its release, he had already been flown out to meetings with labels such as Columbia, Republic, Def Jam, Shady Records, and so many more. Yet rather than signing, Chance stuck with his small, tight-knit crew that he came up with, including his manager, Pat Corcoran. Remember this name because he'll play a huge role in the latter half of this video when we discuss his fall off. At the time, they had a simple philosophy about how to navigate the game. Me and Chance have always had a chip on our shoulder. Like, we can do this and it doesn't take much. Just don't be an idiot. Although they didn't sign with a label, they did strike a deal with a superstar CAA agent named Kara Lewis, who added Chance to a roster that includes Kanye West and Eminem, to name a few. This meant that he was basically an independent artist with a major label PR machine behind him. With his setup, Chance was ready to make an extraordinary and unmatched rise to the top of the rap game, as by the time he dropped his third mixtape, Coloring Book, he was seen as one of the biggest rappers in the game, all without releasing an actual album. Soon, he was getting adjusted to his newfound fame, which he expressed in a Rolling Stone interview, saying, "I don't really have control over my direct impression on people anymore. I used to be the person putting my CD in people's hands, but I'm kind of a mainstream artist now, not by choice, not by what I make or anything, but just by that ripple effect." Unveiled in May of 2016, Coloring Book has represented the peak of Chance's success. Paid $500,000 by Apple Music for exclusive rights to the project, Coloring Book had features from Wayne, 2 Chainz, Kanye, Young Thug, and a whole host of other huge names in the culture. And at that point, it seemed like everyone was really in his corner. Everyone loves Chance. Everyone wants to work with him. Why? Because he's spreading love and positive vibes. Whether it was manifestation or just momentum, Chance's blessings just kept coming. And when he brought home 2 Grammys for Best New Artist and Best Rap Album in 2017, he made history as the first streaming-only artist to do that. At just 23 years old, Chance had the world at his feet, and people started making some pretty big claims.
Drake album better be fire, man. This thing, the way nigga told my church, Chance might be the one, man. It don't even matter if you like him or not. Chance is, he's setting it up right now. He's setting it up. He's gonna be the guy. Give it like.
But you guys.
In hindsight, this seems like Academics was tweaking, but there was a moment where it seemed like Drake might have been threatened by Chance. For one, he tried to undermine him on his song called Draft Day, spitting, "If I leave this to Chance, I'd have picked a name like Chance the Rapper." While it did seem like a quick sidebar, it was much deeper at the time. Plus, Drake is well known for going out of his way to work with a new artist that's bubbling up. But for Chance, that didn't happen. And for some reason, Drake has always kept his distance from him since sending that shot in 2014. Anointed by the industry as next up, it really felt like when Chance spit, "I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail," during his guest appearance on Ultra Light Beam, that he was telling the truth. But after all that's happened in the past couple of years, people view that line as more ironic than anything. That's because in the aftermath of Coloring Book, Chance kept capitalizing on that period in his career. After making a rumored $6 million off his 3 hats, he began to engage in charity.
"I made $6 million in 1 year off these hats, yo. Woo. Yeah. I'm buying these hats.
Then why did I pay for the $3?
Eventually donating $1 million to mental wellness charities in Chicago. But even with all the good he was doing, his image began to infuriate people. To preface this, it's important to note that hip-hop is quite a cynical genre where anything seen as being too squeaky clean is viewed with suspicion or is seen as corny. Just look at the issues that everyone from Logic to YouTube rappers like Dax have all encountered once they had a label behind them. Well, for Chance, he had to deal with this coming from all fronts, including an artist he once collaborated with named Wale, who tweeted out a message which everyone immediately thought was about Chance the Rapper. Some of these politicians, I mean rappers, have some amazing PR. Good Two Shoes, All American Boys, Holier Than Thou Swag. And he wasn't the only one. After Chance debuted his track, First World Problems, on a late night TV show,
"Gotta stop. I see what Chance is doing. Enough of the Apollo sh- where you go out there and you sing about Jesus and we can't boo you. What the f*** is he talking about? It's too positive. I'm going with some Wale sh- man." The tone of voice. "Come on. Yesterday I told my daughter if I woke up that she would blow up and then I went to the store. That nigga better go back to Chicago. I want a G Herbo feature. I don't want to hear your guitar strings. Get this collab the f*** out of here."
Joe Budden decided he had enough of Chance's positivity. Now, considering how much Chance was up at the time, comments like these from Budden and Wale, both men who were gifted MCs but never quite got all the acclaim from the mainstream that Channel received, could be seen as hating. But over time, it began to spill over into his audience as well. It's hard to criticize someone for having a positive image and generally being happy, but his "I'm such a good and positive person" image is kind of annoying. At this point, Chance still had a spotless reputation. Sure, he had his struggles with drugs, but he was pretty open about using them in his music. Meanwhile, he'd pretty much avoided any kind of beef. But as the good guy act began to wear on people, Budden actually predicted what was about to go down in his future.
"If more people share that sentiment, if you make enough enemies, we're gonna start to hear some stories. Now, I'm not saying people will believe them. I think some stories are gonna start coming out. You're gonna have to bob and weave and fight some of this off. You can't just ignore all of it. But if enough people start sharing this sentiment, you're gonna have to address it. Let's see."
Just as Budden had theorized, there came a point where all the negativity would boil over. Not to mention how he eventually crossed someone close to him in the process. And in the fallout, Chance would shed some of that good guy image that had previously protected him from critics. After nearly a decade in the game, Chance finally revealed his debut album, The Big Day, in July of 2019. After fans and critics had been excited to see what he did next, the result wasn't just a letdown, but pretty cringe in its delivery. With the whole project basically being a conceptual album about how much he loves his wife. Although it debuted at number 2 on the charts and is therefore technically his most successful project, it was also the turning point where it all went wrong. First, the critics turned on him.
"I did not love a single song from this album, not one single track. There were moments where I caught a breath, but it just did not pan out. Genuinely feeling like a strong 0 on this record. It's like a strong zero to a light one.
Then the fans came along, and at this point, he got memed into oblivion. Suddenly experiencing the same internet community that once uplifted him deciding that he'd slip up, Chance didn't handle the criticism well at all. And in a now deleted tweet, Chance expressed how the negative feedback on the album got to him, writing, "I got this crazy feeling that people want me to delete myself. That's not my vibe at all, but I feel the push. And I feel like even more than that, some people want me to feel ashamed. Shame is heavy. And feeling shame for something that you were super prideful about is super heavy." Rather than garnering sympathy from his fans, this kind of response just left people confused at why he was trying to guilt trip them into enjoying his music. Just because he dropped a mediocre album doesn't mean I want him to delete himself. Even though this tactic didn't exactly pay, he bizarrely stuck with it, comparing himself to civil rights leaders in the process.
There is a spiritual warfare going on beyond just social media or music or whatever. You could just be making a joke or a comment, playing along with the meme. You don't ever really think about the person that's being, commented on. Like I was just saying about the spiritual warfare, like it can push you to a certain point. Mm-hmm. Everybody handles things differently. Now, I'm somebody that's very deeply rooted in my faith. And I'm not saying that to say that negates mental health issues. I wanted to just call out that spirit. Calling Martin Luther King directly, like, yo,
Martin Luther King didn't have Twitter.
It's not a fantastical idea that people want you to self-destruct. I'm not calling myself Martin Luther King before that becomes the headline.
At every turn, he also just seemed unwilling to acknowledge the shortcomings of the big day. Sticking to his guns, that talk of a fall-off was premature.
I could do one of two things. I could either agree with it, or I could live my life. If I agree with it, then that means the Breakfast Club fell off, because y'all don't have people that fell off sitting in your chair. I gotta stay on my path. Because we're saying I fell off when I was in high school. Your last tape was better. I'm like, I'm 15. I could joke about it. It is tough, but it's like, I don't know. What can I say?
Can you do?
I tell people my feelings are hurt.
Standing his ground, just as he had when the labels tried to sign him, Chance clearly thought that if he could stay on his path, then it would all go his way. But it looked like he acquired a little bit of an ego, to the point that he wasn't taking advice from anyone else either. And soon, taking his own route would not only lead him to realize just how much the audience were rejecting what he was selling now, but would also lead to one of his long-term allies to abandon him. As an independent rapper, live shows were always important to Chance. And once he dropped the album, he scheduled the big tour, a 35-day journey across America. The tour was scheduled to take Chance into 2020, but it would be canceled after just 5 dates. Initially, alarm bells started to ring when he was offering 2-for-1 deals, a telltale sign of a tour that's not selling well. So by the time he was taking time off to spend with his family, fans already pretty much felt like they were being deceived, and critics thought that it was obvious what he was doing.
Yo, y'all believe them fake numbers. When I saw Chance the Rapper try to book Madison Square Garden solo, I knew it was over. So when you start believing these numbers, cool, let's go book this venue. We can't sell it. Oh, we can't sell this one either. Okay, let's cancel the tour and let's blame it on we're gonna go spend time with our family.
As usual, Chance tried to control the narrative, but that was all about to go out the window once his former ally and manager, Pat Cochran, lifted the lid on what really went down. With Pat claiming that he owed over $2.5 million of unreimbursed expenses supporting and promoting Bennett's career, he also lifted the lid on what went down with both the album and tour. According to Cochran, he expressed serious concern with the projected release date Bennett had unilaterally announced for the album, and cited numerous distractions and artistic compromises that inevitably resulted from time wasted in the studio, all of which contributed to a lackluster album evidenced by historically low ticket sales. In one final dagger, the manager's lawsuit also claimed that Bennett ultimately blamed Cochran for the judgment rendered by his fan base, rather than accept that his own lack of dedication had doomed the project. While that lawsuit is still ongoing to this very day, and Chance has countersued, the real issue was what it did to the illusion of what Chance's camp was really like. And looking back, some people feel like there were already signs of this behavior from Chance, including trying to stamp out negative reviews.
You saw these antics whenever Chance would receive criticism of his work. It seemed to be almost censorship in a way. And I remember something like this happening with MTV not long ago after he received some pretty harsh words about one of his albums. I remember him having some heavy involvement in getting that article taken down. And that really rubbed me the wrong way, because if you are free to say whatever you want to say in your music, people are free to say whatever they want to say about your music. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, here is an independent act who should know what it feels like to be muzzled by the music industry, should know what it feels like to be chained up by music labels, purposefully censoring a journalist's work.
Left with a dwindling fan base and forced to face those who were left, as they tried to figure out if he was still a great role model they once believed him to be, Chance has gone from a top star to someone who rap fans simply aren't checking for anymore. But is there any way back? Ever since the Big Day fiasco, it feels like Chance has been trying to secure his future in other avenues of entertainment. But while roles in The Lion King and appearing as a coach in The Voice would have gotten him a nice bag, it once again left his fans in the cold. He seems to be primarily shifting to acting and fashion. Kinda sucks when you're more interested in hearing new music. He shifted to music and acting because of the state of his music career. If Big Day was better received, I guarantee he would have dropped a lot more since. Facing a world that no longer supports him as it once did, the situation has completely reversed. Previously, fans were fiending for new music from Chance. However, the disappointment with The Big Day has led to a shift in attitude, where now they tend to dismiss his new music before it's even released. When he recently announced that he's planning to drop a new album in 2024, after his 5-year hiatus from making music, fans commented things like, "Keep that shit," and it's funny how people will shit on it before they even hear it. It's not just the fans though. Now, his former supporters, who once considered him a great, have reached the point where they're done with his image and don't see any way back for him now that the image of him is cemented in place.
When Nick start acting like they're goody two-shoes and we should love their music. Hip-hop has always been celebrating the person who's imperfect, the person who came from nothing, who made it something, the person who listened, who never had a silver spoon in his mouth, the person who made mistakes, the person who has a redemption arc, the person who we know ain't. Come on, man. That's why when I heard that Chance the Rapper album, I love my wife. My wife is best. My wife be my ass. I love my wife. I pray to God every day. God, I love you. I love you. Hey. Man, trash! Get out of here, nigga!
Now, 4 years removed from the release of The Big Day, Chance is still teasing his next move. At the moment, his upcoming album, Starline Gallery, is taking a long time to drop, and even though it has been in the works for numerous years, Chance has said that the holdup is because he isn't exactly satisfied yet.
Starline is something that is just, it's something that's so beautiful and I'm so proud of in its current state, but it's just not where I want it to be yet, you know what I mean?
In all fairness, it's hard to blame him for perfectionism after what he went through with The Big Day. But it's also important to remember that no culture moves as fast as hip-hop, and 4 years might as well be a lifetime. And with Chance dropping out of people's playlists every month, he really needs to act now, or the last hopes of a comeback might just disappear for good.